Welcome to another episode of The Brand Called You, a podcast and podcast show that brings you leadership lessons, knowledge, experience, and wisdom from thousands of successful individuals from around the world. I'm your host, Ashutosh Garg, and today I'm delighted to welcome a very accomplished technology leader from Hong Kong, Jeannie Lim. Jeannie, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much, Ashutosh. It's an honor to be here.
Thank you. Jeannie is the co-founder and CEO of Being AI Limited. She's the former CEO and chief marketing officer of Hanson Robotics, who were the creator of the Sophia the robot. She's also the chairperson of the advisory board of the Cathy Ann Hall Sphere Foundation. Jeannie, let's start by asking you, tell me in brief your own journey.
Sure. So I will compress my journey here. Yeah. So I spent over two decades in the corporate world, mostly involved in technology marketing. Mm-hmm. So I worked for 7.5 years at Apple, and also worked at the enterprise networking companies like Cisco, mm-hmm. and then went into Dell and other companies. Mm-hmm. And I had a couple of epiphanies. Mm-hmm. The first one was when I was like doing all kinds of things, but not really paying attention to anything. And I felt that I was lacking in compassion. Mm-hmm. I was riding a bike and listening to a podcast on business and watching CNN. And I realized that, hey, there's something that I need to do to have more compassion in the world, to be more engaged in the world. So I quit my corporate job and went off to Thailand and was there for a 4-week yoga teacher's training. Mm-hmm. And I learned the asanas, of course, but then the thing that mostly affected me was the philosophy behind yoga. Mm-hmm. So from then on, I went back to the corporate world and actually tried to practice the yoga philosophy off the mat, mm-hmm. in addition to on the mat. Mm. And then later on, I had another epiphany and studied energy medicine in Sausalito for a few years and got my doctorate in energy and integrated holistic health.
Wow.
And then I came back to the corporate world and also practiced what I learned. And I found that actually corporate people are very curious about things. They believe that there's something to it. But, a lot of times they're a little bit too woohoo for many of them. Mm. But there's something behind it. And I could feel that curiosity and that yearning to learn. Mm. And by accident, I met the founder of Hanson Robotics. And I got really enthralled with the idea that we could create artificial intelligence that would someday be more intelligent than we are and help us solve a lot of the problems that we created in the world.
Wow.
And so I was there for four years, and we took Sophia the robot around the world, over 200 events, and met all kinds of people from all walks of life. What struck me was the way people connected with her very deeply and very emotionally. And so I figured that, hey, there's actually a right way for us to design artificial intelligence so they connect with people and they actually build people up and inspire people and motivate them to work together with technology. And so I went off and started Being AI because I wanted to scale the connection between human and AI, not just having a robot, which is hardware, which is kind of tough to carry around. So for the virtual avatar, we could have her interact with millions of people all at once, just like the movie Her.
Amazing. And I've actually met Sophia the robot because she had come to a YPO function in New Delhi.
I remember that.
I remember sitting there and talking to her, and fascinating.
Now
I've met one of the creators of Sophia. Thank you. So, Jeannie, let's talk about Being AI Limited. Tell me about what motivated you to start this venture.
Sure. So a couple of things. I mentioned that when we took Sophia around, I really wanted Sophia to meet more people and get their stories and dreams and experiences and be able to reshare it with others, right? Mm-hmm. Because the problem with human is I could probably meet people, but you know, I could have conversations with them in a very limited way and with a very limited number of people. But an AI could do it, scale it a million times of conversation. So that's the reason why I created AI, the virtual avatar company. The other reason was after Hansen, I actually wanted to see whether I could help a little bit in solving the problems in the world. So what I came to the conclusion is a lot of problems in the world as created by mindshare, by mindset. So if we change the mindset, it is a very long lever to make changes in the world. There's a lot of people with talents and skills who could actually direct them to solving a lot of humanitarian problems, but needs a change in mindset. And therefore, I wanted the AI being to be able to learn the best from humans and be able to inspire humans to be wiser in a scalable way.
Amazing. And you see everyone being able to now create or have their own avatar?
Well, sure. I mean, now you could do it. Basically, there are a lot of avatar creation platforms. You could go and create your avatar, Ashutoshi, as well. And what we're trying to do is take it to the next level. So instead of creating a static avatar or an avatar that's basically a video recording, we wanted the avatar to interact in real time with people and also learn in real time. So so the avatar becomes your digital twin.
Amazing. And you do know, since you studied yoga, that avatar is a Sanskrit word, which really means, you know, it's really used for different forms of reincarnations.
Yes. So it's very apt. Right?
Absolutely. Wonderful. I was also reading, not that I'm an expert, but a lot of the avatars that we are all going to be creating or have already created will find a place in the metaverse. Because I'm assuming that's where most of us as avatars will be interacting with one another. I wanted to now move to the metaverse and ask you, how will the metaverse impact our lives? Because at the end of the day, you and I will only be meeting in three dimension in cyberspace.
That's right.
So what happens to the human element of that?
Sure, we'll just be at the beach. Just kidding. So yes, the metaverse has an opportunity to just disrupt everything that we're doing in living and working and playing. So I guess an analogy is, if we just kind of step back, you know, and see the internet in the old days, it's just like a brochure where, right? You just read the information. It's just information. The Web 2.0, you would go, for example, instead of just reading about a tree, you would go to a tree and then take a selfie and share it on your social media. With the metaverse, you actually get to have an immersive experience with the tree. You could actually be the tree.
Correct.
Because it doesn't say that the avatar needs to be you, right? You could actually be an animal. You could be a tree. And you can experience what it feels like to have somebody hug you. So that's the kind of immersive experience that the metaverse could offer.
Very interesting. And, you know, with the coming of the metaverse, how will some of the digital challenges be handled by different companies?
Yeah, it's a really great question. I guess one of the key things is data privacy. Because right now you walk out and it's the nature and nobody is really tracking you if you didn't bring your cell phone or anything, or any trackable device.
Yeah.
But the metaverse, everything is virtual. You could imagine if you throw, you know, if you litter in the metaverse, that's going to be recorded on the blockchain, possibly. So I think data privacy is really important. You have to be aware of what information you're giving up when you come around the metaverse, and you have to be aware of who's controlling it and how they're going to use it. So I think that's the first thing that people need to be aware of.
You know, given the amount of changes that are happening in technology all the time, what will the metaverse do to technology leaders of the world?
Yeah, I guess for one thing, they have to be humble and stay curious because this is such a nascent field and it's going to change a lot. So either, the whole world will be in metaverse or it's going to maybe take another 10, 20 years before it is widely adopted. So I think to be humble and to be curious and to learn every single day about the latest technology that's enabling it and the privacy issues, security issues that people need to be aware of. And also, I think they have to be comfortable about empowering people to create in the metaverse. It used to be you go to the internet, you have a team of content creators creating everything, so you get to vet everything. But now with the metaverse, everybody could be a creator. So I guess the empowerment and that creating that kind of culture and that trust in your team to actually create these contents would be very important.
Interesting. And how does the common human being, the common person in the world, take advantage of this metaverse and the avatars?
Yeah, I would encourage people to just jump in and try it. I mean, it's sort of like if you haven't experienced a metaverse, just go and register into one. It could be a gaming one. It could be, just social networking. It doesn't matter. So you go on one of the avatar creation platforms, create your own beautiful avatar, and just jump in and try it. And, then start to experience what it could offer or what it couldn't offer. So stay on top of that.
And is the avatar on top of your right shoulder? Is it you?
No, actually, a lot of people say the hairstyle looks good, but she is her own independent person, and I said person, and she has her own personality and her own personal story arc. Her name is Zivi.
Jeannie, I also understand that there are, and you just mentioned it, there are multiple metaverses. How does one determine which one to be in? And if I go into one, will there be a fear of missing out in the other?
Sure. So I wouldn't say outright that there are multiple metaverses. I would say that there are multiple virtual worlds. Some people call it metaverse, some people might call it something else. But if we think of the metaverse as the next stage of the internet, there's one internet. There are multiple ways of experience that one internet, and there are multiple portals into that one internet. So I think the metaverse would be the same. The big question is interoperability. Whether you could take your NFT assets across different metaverse or different virtual worlds, that's a key question. And so the fear of missing out is a really big thing with new technology. And yeah, I mean, that's why I go back to encouraging people to just try it. If you're into music, go and experience a music metaverse. If you're into gaming, go and experience a gaming metaverse. I mean, there's nothing stopping you. It's, basically you could just register and try it, right? So there's nothing that stops anybody from experiencing these metaverses.
And now coming back to being AI, how do you see different people's avatars interacting with one another? What do you see in terms of the technology disruptions that our avatars can create, or challenges they can create for us?
Sure. So at Being AI, we have like a three-step process. So right now we're creating Zibi as her non-player character avatar. So it's like you're reading a fiction book. She's a fictional character. So we have her interacting in real time with people, not just verbally and but also non-verbally, and she could perceive your emotions. So we are building that platform that enables her. At the same time, while we're building the platform, we're building a studio that enables people to create their own characters and stories. So that's the enabling platform. And then at the end of it, our moonshot goal is to create a AI being that has morality, different personality, that has all the shared experiences that they learned from people in the world, and be able to inspire us to be wiser and kinder to each other. So there's a humanitarian moonshot there. So everything that we're building, the underlying technology has to do with natural language processing, generative AI, that she could help you actually generate contents and so forth. So as a your own avatar, you would be able to access some of these AI generative tools.
But, you know, you do foresee a situation where you and I are now not talking on Zoom, and Zoom itself is of some kind of a metaverse. Yeah. But, you know, you and I actually sitting in a three-dimensional form in a room created by being AI, and actually having a conversation via our avatars.
Yeah, I think that would be beautiful, because I was thinking the other day, I just had a team meeting, and I thought it would be so nice if that meeting was in the metaverse and there would be a water cooler. So instead of just being in the meeting room, we could actually socialize and, you know, gossip in the water cooler. And so all these things that we're missing out in the physical world is possible, or in Zoom, is possible in a metaverse.
So the old concepts, and, you know, I'm much older, but the old concepts of management by walking around can actually happen now in the metaverse, isn't it?
Yeah. And you could fly around, you could do anything, you could cartwheel around, you could do anything you want.
And you can actually do that without any jet lag.
Exactly. Exactly.
Wonderful. But Jeannie, the other aspect that I wanted to ask you was, there is a lot of debate on the ethical aspects of artificial intelligence. One, of course, you did address on privacy.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
But what are some of the other ethical aspects of AI, and how are you handling some of these?
Sure. So one big aspect is AI bias. Mm-hmm. So there are a lot of huge data sets out there that has already ingested historical information that are inherently biased. Mm-hmm. So a famous example is a recruiter AI basically wants to recruit more women to go into engineering, but they ingested the past 10 years of resumes, and basically the AI itself is discriminatory against women, because the last 10 years of resumes include very, very few women. It's mostly so that's one bias. There are many biases. You know, now people are using AI to police and be able to rank people according to how likely they are to do criminal activities. That could be a big bias. So the other issue, I think, is people, actually, it could be a very big issue. Is if you go on to some of the Reddits and people talk about how they talk to AI, it's actually quite terrible. They verbally abuse them. And actually, robots, you know, there's been cases where people physically abuse the robots. Wow. So the problem in many ways is not the AI, it's us. We are delivering really bad data to the AI for them to learn really bad behavior. So that's one problem that we're trying to address with being AI. Is we want to create a moral framework where people would be encouraged to be nice to the AI being. So there's two ways of going about it. One is we design the AI being to be more like your little sister. So she's always learning and growing. So you are actually responsible for her. And when I look at my friends becoming parents, you know, they are completely different. They become more accountable, more responsible, a better role model. So that's what we want in terms of, you know, getting people into that mindset of being responsible. The other thing is we actually want to curate the people who could train our AI being at a global level. We actually want them to learn to be wiser and kinder. It could take form of a certification program or a training program. So we haven't really nailed it down yet. But the idea is the humans, for example, if you go to a doctor, you would expect the doctor to be certified, right?
Correct.
You go to medical and be certified. Yep. So the same thing, anybody who trains AI in a global way should actually be certified. So they should take something similar to the Hippocrates oath to make sure that they are in the right mindset to train the AI, which could scale anything negative or positive in, you know, a million times faster.
Amazing, amazing. And on a lighter note, you know, as someone who knows yoga so well, next time you want to do yoga and you don't feel like it, can you ask your avatar to do it for you?
Oh, for sure. I'll do it for you. I'm not sure that's a useful thing, but
I know,
the avatar could definitely do a good demonstration for you.
No, I was just, that was it on a lighter note, time for two more questions. As someone who looks at technology so closely, what are some of the technology disruptions you think you can see in the next few years?
So obviously, since we're an AI company, we really see a major development in AI, especially in an area called generative AI. I don't know if you noticed, there's now a lot of people who go on these tools that allow them to type some text and create really amazing images. So it's text to image. And now they have AI generative tools that you could create music by typing, or just by playing one line of music, and it will create the same music, the entire piece in the same genre. So the AI that allows people to generate content is going to be more broadly available to everyday consumers. So a lot of people say, oh, that's going to replace the jobs of artists and musicians. But in a way, it also allows more people to become creative. So they're not blocked by the tools of the trade. And it also allows artists to experiment more and to go deeper in their creativity and not just, you know, do sort of the superficial things.
Very interesting. And my last question to you, Jeannie, and this is for the many, many people who will listen to our conversation. Based on your amazing journey and now, being at the cutting edge of technology with being AI, what would you say are three lessons you would want our viewers and listeners to take away from your journey, your learnings, and from our conversation?
Sure. So I guess the first thing is embrace technology and participate in it, not just as a user, but think of yourself as participating in the building and defining it. It's just like, you know, people always say, go into the metaverse, right? But actually, you could build the metaverse. You could be part of the builder. So think about that. There are a lot of open source tools available for you to experiment. So I encourage people to not think of themselves as just a user, but as a builder, as a deeper participant. The other thing, I think generally, especially now with AI being able to scale content, is don't believe everything that you hear and see without critical thinking.
Okay.
You know, that is so important because this information is going to be even more rampant with the free available distribution and creation of all these different content, you know, deepfake and all the contents. So, you know, go through that critical thinking exercise, ask five whys. And, you know, people advise me that, trace where the money goes. I mean, it's kind of cynical, but in some ways it's very true. You know, don't believe everything you say and be your own citizen journalist, because now news is not coming from journalists. It's coming from platforms.
Correct.
I guess the third thing, which I always advise younger people, is really get to know yourself and don't be afraid to be who you are. You don't need to copy anybody. Everybody has their different journey, their different talents. You have your own talents for a reason. And so I think a lot of times when we're young, we try to, you know, kind of look to our peers or look to heroes. I mean, be your own hero, write your own heroic journey. And so I think that would enable you to really maximize your potential and empower yourself.
Wow. What amazing lessons. Jeannie, on that note and your three amazing lessons, embrace technology and participate in it. Don't believe everything you see or hear. And the third one, get to know yourself and don't be afraid of who you are. Thank you so much for speaking to me. Thank you for talking to me about your incredible journey. I mean, yoga, PhD, then Apple, Hanson Robotics, AI, being AI Limited. Thank you for talking to me about artificial intelligence, the metaverse, and so much more. Thank you for speaking to me and good luck.
Thank you so much, Ashutosh. It's been such a fun conversation.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to The Brand Called You videocast and podcast, a platform that brings you knowledge, experience, and wisdom of hundreds of successful individuals from around the world. Do visit our website, www.tbcy.in, to watch and listen to the stories of many more individuals. You can also follow us on YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Just search for The Brand Called You.